It's time for Dishing Up Nutrition with licensed nutritionist Darlene Kvist. Each week, Darlene explains the connection between what you eat and how you feel. Stay tuned to hear practical, real-life solutions for healthier living through good nutrition. Dishing Up Nutrition is brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last. Just kicking down the cobblestones, looking for fun and feeling groovy.
Well, welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness, a company specializing in therapeutic nutrition counseling for your health concerns. You know, we have a great show planned today, and we want you participating with your questions because we have a nutritionist, James McAfee, the author of Your Body's Sign Language, and he's joining us this morning to answer your questions. A very interesting book it is, and I think you're really going to like what he's talking about today. Our co-host is Kathy Wienis, licensed dietitian. Kathy sees clients in our Wayzata office, and she teaches nutrition classes for many community and business groups. In fact, we are so proud of the fact that this past year, did you know this, Kathy, that Nutritional Weight and Wellness taught 242 classes, and we taught over 4,200 people last year. Nutrition.
We are growing.
Yes. So it's my personal goal is to have our weight and wellness classes taught all over the United States.
Yes.
Because they're so impactful for people's health.
And as soon as you fly me out to Hawaii, I'll be there to teach for you.
So, well, you taught this past week, didn't you, to a business group?
Yes, Data Recognition Corporation in Maple Grove, and what a wonderful group. It was really a fun experience. And as you know, Dar, I love to teach classes. It's probably one of my favorite things to do. So it doesn't take a whole lot for me to have a pleasing experience, but this group was just a little above par. They were wonderful, very attentive, a lot of great questions, and we had about double the turnout that they expected. So that made it really exciting. The topic was foods for great energy, and that always
draws
a lot of people. So, and they really liked us. They just called last week and want us back in May and then again in midsummer. So
it's great, isn't it?
Yeah, and like I said, wonderful people out there, so I'm eager to go back.
You know, I think, Cassie, one of the things that when most people think of nutrition, they think, oh, boring. And they almost turn off their ears.
And they think we're going to take so many foods away from them. You're a nutritionist. You're going to take all my favorite foods away. So when I start talking about real butter and nuts and, you know, people love you.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. So before we delve into the topic today, of course, as always, I need to say hi to my kids. So to my two biggest fans back home, hi, Riley. Hi, Marissa. And then also want to give out the phone number before we start talking to Mr. McAfee. Our phone number here at the station, so you can ask our guest author your questions, is 651-641-1071. Again, that's 651-641-1071.
So, Cassie and I say Jim's name a little bit different. I say McAfee, and we'll see. Now, he is a certified clinical nutritionist and has written this fascinating book about reading your body's sign language, or the clues to your nutritional well-being. You know, his book is just full of body signs that each person seems like they're so interested in what makes them tick.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you love to diagnose your friends and family.
Or, you know, we look at this book a lot. It gives us clues to what's going on with people. You know, what is the nutritional parts that maybe are not working for them? So,
right. You know, one of the things that comes to my mind that I was reading in there, if anyone has sort of brownish, reddish discoloration on the skin, on the lower parts of your legs, and if that's kind of slowly spreading, that is often an early warning sign of the development of type 2 diabetes.
So I bet everyone is looking at their ankles
right
now.
Pulling up their pant legs right now.
They're checking out their skin color. So let's welcome Jim McAfee, author of Your Body Sign Language. You know, Jim, good morning to you.
Good morning to you.
We're so pleased you're willing to talk to us this early because I know it's 6 o'clock, 6 a.m. in fact.
Ouch.
Where you live.
On a Saturday morning.
And you've been working in this field of nutrition for over 30 years, right?
Yes.
But you weren't always healthy, were you?
No, actually, I was pretty unhealthy as a youngster.
So in
as a matter
your...
of fact, a lot of the body signs that you read about in the book, I was experiencing. That's why it got me interested in researching all those things.
So share a little bit more about that, Jim.
Oh, I was obese as a youngster. I had muscle cramps all the time, cysts, thighs, warts, angina pains, all kinds of different symptomology, which fortunately all went away when I discovered nutrition and started eating right.
And that's why you got so passionate about the topic, isn't it?
Yes, I've tried to share with other people the things that I've learned. And it wasn't just me, also my family members. My mother at 43 was told that she had bones like a little old lady.
Wow.
And she started supplementing, and the bone healed. She fell down and shattered her elbow. And when she supplemented, the bone healed in half the time the doctor expected it to. And the doctor said, can you get me the supplements that you're taking? And that's kind of how she got interested in nutrition.
Okay, that's great.
Wow. Wow. As a dietitian, you know, and I see clients on a weekly basis, I really, as Dara's already mentioned, have found your book really helpful. It's sort of a resource piece or a reference material. But, you know, looking through it, there's so much information. My guess is you spent many, many, many months putting it together. You know, we can become passionate about nutrition and take that route, but what motivated you to sit down and spend all this time and energy putting this book together?
Well, actually, it's a work of many years.
That's right.
As I would run across a body sign, I would just file it. And over a period of, you know, 25 years or so, I compiled quite a few of the different body signs. And then the challenge was figuring out how to organize them and put them in a format where the average person could pick it up and understand it and enjoy it, and where it would draw them deeper into the desire to know more about nutrition.
You know, I think the other thing, Jim, the thing that you did is in your book, not only did you put the body signs in, but then you put in what could correct those problems, you know, the nutritional factors or, you know, how you could change your eating to really address some of those issues.
Yeah, I didn't want to leave people with just a problem.
You know, and he brings up a good point for those of you that, you know, haven't had this book in your hands before. It really is one that you want to buy because you don't often find a book that is so user-friendly in this area. And Dara and I talk about that a lot. You know, we teach classes that really put things into a simplistic form that people can take and use the information. But books are hard. There's a lot of very scientific books. And if you're schooled, you can translate, but this is so user-friendly.
So, Jim, let's just kind of talk about a few you have, you know, some of the discoveries that you've made in your research and your clinical experience. You know, because I know everyone is interested in their own personal body sides.
Yeah, yeah. And one that I, you know, I use this as a reference piece again here, is it a week and a half ago, I had a young girl, early 20s, that was losing her hair. And we often see females losing their hair, but it tends to be a little bit older women the majority of the time. But here was this young girl, and she'd been to everybody under the sun, and her dermatologist basically just told her, you have genetic alopecia, and there's not much you can do other than Rogaine, which is a really scary thing at that young of an age. So, you know, I used your book. I kind of know what's in there. What can you share with the audience? What does that body sign tell people about their nutritional needs generally?
You know, hair is very dependent on good nutrition. With premenopausal women, there was some research done by Janet Roberts where she found that 72% of the women that were losing their hair prior to menopause were experiencing iron deficiency. And of course, when you're low in iron, you don't get very good circulation, so the roots of the hair are not going to be well nourished. Postmenopausally, there was an association with use of pharmaceutical drugs and hair loss. And then it's kind of interesting with men, when they are losing hair prematurely, that's a sign of increased risk of developing cardiovascular disease.
That was interesting when I read that part.
Yes.
There's a lot of interesting things with regard to the hair. You know, I start at the top of the head and go down to the toes in the book. It's kind of the way things are organized.
Yeah.
First of all, I do body shape, and then I do the hair, and then the toes, and then I go inside the body. But for example, premature graying of the hair is very interesting also. And they found that if a individual is half gray by 40 years of age, the risk of osteoporosis goes up 4.5 times.
Okay, well, you know, I have a personal friend that grayed. I think she was gray before she hit 40. I think she was graying pretty much in her 30s. And yes, she has broken her ankle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Interesting.
Something else very interesting is I think it was just this week there was a research study out where they found that premature graying of hair was associated with increased free radical activity at the root of the hair.
Okay.
And they found that these individuals are getting increases in hydrogen peroxide, and it was actually destroying the little cells that are responsible for coloring the hair.
So maybe, you know, we talk about free radicals and things like that, and most people don't really understand what free radicals are, Jim. Do you want to talk about that just a little bit?
Sure. Free radicals are, in nature, things travel in pairs. When you have an atom, there's electrons like to be in pairs. Free radical is an atom that has lost one of its pair of electrons, and it wants it back very seriously, so it's going to rob it from whatever it comes in contact with. And you get some pretty serious problems when atoms start pulling electrons away from the DNA. You get damage to the DNA that can lead to cancer, or you get atoms pulled out of the membrane of a cell, and cell membranes are made of very, very high-quality lipids. And when you start pulling the electrons out, you get something called a tanning of the cell membrane, where it actually gets harder. That makes it more difficult for nutrients to get into the cell, for waste products to get out. You actually get a hampering of the function of the cells. Years ago, I spoke for an organization called the Nuclear Power Corporation in the San Francisco area, and the head of the company invited me to come over, and he wanted to show me the research they were doing. Well, what they were doing is they were tanning the membranes of red blood cells by exposing them to lead. And what they found was then the filterability, the ability of the red blood cells to move through the tiny little capillaries in the body, was hampered. Because those, the average pore in a capillary is about 3 microns, and the red blood cell is about 7 microns. So that red blood cell has to become spaghetti to fit through the tiny little capillaries.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Well, this wasn't happening with the free radical damage from the heavy metal poisoning of lead.
Sure.
But they found also that if they supplemented the animals with vitamin E, even with lead poisoning, because you were neutralizing the free radical damage to the cell membrane, you retained the filterability of the red blood cells.
Wow, that's amazing.
That has incredible implications because we have so much high lead levels today compared to what it was before we started using leaded gasoline and leaded paints in the United States.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Jim, you know what? We do have to take a quick break here. You're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, a company specializing in therapeutic nutrition for all health concerns. You know, last Monday night, as I was leaving work, one of our weight and wellness students stopped me, she just said, this was the best class experience she's ever had. At first, she was really concerned about spending the money. But now, after being in the first 4 classes, she knows it's the best investment she's ever made for herself. You know, and she actually looks forward to every Monday night coming to a nutrition class, or, you know, it's her weight and wellness night. So she thanked me for having such great classes and that the fact that she's feeling so much better. Another side effect is it's been 1 month. She's lost weight. She started to cook for her family, and she's making real changes thanks to these classes, basically. And it was really nice for me to hear. I mean, it's just always a pleasure to hear these positive remarks. So if you have questions about your body signs today and you want to ask Jim some questions, our phone number is 651-641-1071.
Living life out loud. FM 107.1.
Making my way downtown, walking fast, faces pass and I'm homebound. Staring blankly ahead, just making my way through the crowd.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. I'm Cassie Wienis, registered dietitian, and I'm here this morning with Darlene Kvist, licensed nutritionist. And if you're just joining us, our special guest today is author and nutritionist Jim McAvee. He has written a book called Your Body's Sign Language. As we were saying, just a fascinating book. It really helps you connect the dots between symptoms or signs you might be having and particular nutritional deficiencies. So if you're wondering about anything from canker sores to cataracts to earlobe creases, do give us a call. You can ask the author, Jim, any question you might have. The number here is 651-641-1071. And before we went to break, Jim was mentioning the high lead content of gasolines and different things and how that shows up in people, and vitamin E being a helpful vitamin that you can add to help help the body work through that. Am I kind of verbalizing that right? But what I wanted to say, I was sharing with Dar then when we went on break, I had a client last week, and this was news to me. She and her husband like to fish, and she said, did you know the fish from the lakes in Minnesota are very high in lead? She said she was bored one day on the boat last summer reading the fishing license, and it talked on there, and I'm sure people don't usually read in detail their fishing license, but it talked on there about how Minnesota lakes are high in lead, and I don't remember if it was only eat Minnesota fish two times a week. It was something like that, and then it listed like the top worst lakes. And I'm sure if you Googled it online, you could get a whole ranking of all the Minnesota lakes, but just something to be aware of because we do have a lot of fishermen and women in this state.
And so what we were really connecting is that these, like mercury and lead and all those things, are can cause free radical damage to your blood vessels and to your to everything in your body, basically. And so that's what we were connecting if you just tuned in right now. But, Jim, one of the things that I find a lot of clients have and they always are wondering about is dandruff. And, you know, they have dry, scaly skin on their head and they have dandruff. And so what body sign is that? What's a, that gives you a clue to what?
Dandruff is associated with deficiency of essential fatty acids. there was an interesting bit of research done by a fellow named Donald Rudin, where he took monkeys and he deprived them of omega-3 fatty acids for 2 years, and they all developed dandruff.
And so, you know, just to help people understand what essential fatty acids are, we would think of those as being like fish oil, you know, right, as one fatty acid, so that people could connect what we're talking about.
Right. Your fish oils would be the ones that would be most likely to be deficient. And it's unfortunate that you have all this contamination in the waterways. I've read the fishing regulations in California, and it's just like it is back there, not only lead, but mercury and pesticides and things like that. And actually, there was a study where they analyzed the fat of or the blood of people for the toxins in the blood, PCBs, dioxin. They found that 10% with the highest levels of these toxins had 38 times more diabetes than the people with the lowest levels, which is huge.
It is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the things that often when people talk, when they come in and they're very afraid of eating beef, you know, they're thinking, and what I tell them now is that if you're eating grass-fed beef, it may be the healthiest food that you actually can consume, because I know that there's a lot of nutritionists that they don't eat any fish because of the contamination now.
One of the sites where these toxins tend to accumulate is in the fatty parts of our body. And I always tell people, if you eat sources of omega-3 oils that aren't contaminated, those fats have such high quality, they'll actually help the body to kick out a lot of the toxins that are accumulated there. And there's actually two clinics in the world where they focus on detoxifying the body, and they work with very, very high-quality oils to increase the energy at the site of the cell membrane so the body can kick these pollutants out.
Mm. So, Jim, we have to go to work here. We've got lots of people on the line. I was kind of listening to you and
Didn't realize the board is lighting up.
So here we go. Hi, Cindy. Welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition. You have a question for Jim?
Hi. Yes. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a strange problem with eyelashes that right by where the hair follicle comes out, it tends to get itchy and flaky.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering.
Itchy, flaky eyelashes, Jim.
You can get a lot of inflammation around the eyelashes, or you can get itchiness and flakiness or dryness of the eyes if there's a deficiency of either omega-3 oils or vitamin A and zinc. The classic vitamin A deficiency is where you get a drying of the tear ducts and around the eyelashes. The role of zinc is that you can have all the vitamin A in the world, but if you are zinc deficient, you can't mobilize the vitamin A out of the liver storage.
And, you know, so, Jim, one of the things that we talk about in our weight and wellness classes is that 73% of the population is zinc deficient these days.
Yep.
Yes, it's very, very common problem. Yes.
So it's interesting. I think, Cindy, as you're thinking about this, cod liver oil, I believe, is one of the a great source of vitamin A.
Mm-hmm.
So, are you using any cod liver oil?
No, not right now.
You know, maybe a teaspoon or two of cod liver oil and a little bit of zinc will take care of that for you.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, thanks for the call.
Good question.
So, yes, so let's take another caller here. Good morning, Colleen. Welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition. You have a question? This is another one on eyelashes.
Hmm.
What's going on here? Colleen?
Hello.
Hello. Your question for us today?
Actually, my eyelashes are falling out on one side.
Your eyelashes are falling out on one side? Is this on like one side of your each eye or just on one eye? Just on one eye.
But they're not itchy. They're not red. I'm just losing eyelashes. They do come back, but then fall out again.
Jim, it has to be a deficiency. You have an idea?
Well, one of the things that can happen is if the diet is very poor, sometimes we'll actually get autoimmune attack against hair follicles and things like that. That can cause loss of eyelashes and things. And one of the key nutrients for preventing autoimmune activity is vitamin D. Another one is omega-3 oils. If the immune cells mature in an environment where there's not enough vitamin D, they're much more prone to start attacking the body's own tissues. And this can apply not only to something like loss of eyelashes, but autoimmune diseases like rheumatoid arthritis and lupus and things like that, type 1 diabetes. A little sun exposure would be something to look at.
Well, we just don't have any of that here, Jim. So
I know. That's why I mentioned the vitamin D.
Or maybe move
I'm
to California.
Of where you are.
No, and I think, Colleen, one of the things that you may want to take a look at is, I don't know if you take any vitamin D, but most people in Minnesota need to take a couple of thousand. I use a vitamin D every day to make sure that they have a high enough vitamin D level. Or another thing that you can do is to go to your doctor and have your vitamin D level checked. And it should be above 50, around 55, to be adequate for
optimal health
and for your immunity and for your bone health.
Which is higher than what the doctors will say. Our optimal level is a little bit different. So.
Right. And I think it's just because some of the labs haven't caught up with the optimal range on their paperwork yet. But I think most people are recommending that it be at least 55 in that range, 55 to 80 or somewhere in that range. So a couple of ideas for you. So,
well, thank you.
All right. Thanks for calling. And we're going to take another quick break. You're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness, a company bringing you leading-edge nutrition information. In our Weight and Wellness series, we help people realize that nutrition is much more than following the latest fad diet. I think we can all see how Oprah has really gotten herself into trouble with her health by following the low-fat, low-calorie, over-exercise plan. You know, really, honestly, nutrition was never meant to be starvation or deprivation. It's always been to feel nourished and mm-hmm. have sufficient amount of food. So it's not a starvation plan. So if you have a body sign and you'd like us to talk about it, give us a call today at 651-641-1071.
FM 107.1. Laugh along.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. I'm Cassie Wienus, registered dietitian, and I'm here with Dar Kavist, licensed nutritionist. We've been talking since the top of the hour with nutritionist and author Jim McAvey. He's written a very interesting book called Your Body's Sign Language. It's a 300-page book. It is full of information that's not just interesting, but it's very useful, and it's put out there in a very user-friendly manner. And it's obviously very interesting because, as we've been talking with him, the entire phone line has lit up here. And we're going to get to all of those questions. First, I just want to mention that our next Weight and Wellness series of classes, our signature series of classes, starts 2 weeks after Easter on April 27th. And we're going to be offering 14 different classes at many different locations throughout the Twin Cities, many different times. So you're sure to find a location and a time that works for you. And keep in mind, these classes qualify for continuing education credits for nurses, for teachers, for personal trainers. But maybe more importantly, they're going to help you keep your New Year's resolutions. So if you're interested, check out our website, weightandwellness.com, or you can call the St. Paul office today at 651-699-3438 to sign up or to just find out more information.
So, Jim, we're just going to take a few callers right now. Good morning, Lisa. Welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition. You have a question about your daughter?
Yeah, I have a 13-year-old daughter who just recently has started to complain that when she tries to sleep at night, her legs will not quit moving.
Kind of a beginning of probably what would be called restless leg syndrome.
Okay.
I would think. And we know that it's really a problem for a lot of people because just look at how much money is being spent by these pharmaceutical companies on drugs for restless legs. There for a while, every other ad I thought that I saw on TV was about restless legs. So, Jim, what do you think about restless legs or what's going on with Lisa's daughter?
Well, I can't, it's kind of hard to diagnose over the phone. But let me just talk
just
about
a sign
the general,
and symptom.
Let me talk about the general principle of what's involved with restless legs and also with cramping, which is something, I experienced as a youngster. I remember one time I had such severe leg cramps on the bus that the bus driver pulled the bus over and came back to see if someone had stabbed me in the back of the bus because I was screaming so loud with pain.
Wow.
And it takes a lot of energy for muscle to relax. It doesn't take a lot of energy for muscle to contract. That's why when we die, we all get rigor mortis. And so anytime you have an energy deficit, there's a tendency for the muscles to have difficulty relaxing. And so in the research, they've actually used a wide variety of nutrients to help with restless legs and with cramping. B-complex vitamins, vitamin E and other antioxidants, vitamin C, and magnesium. Now, generally, I find the most beneficial nutrient is magnesium because that's involved in about 350 enzymes that are involved with energy production in the body.
And that's exactly what we would say, too, Jim, is the first place we would go is magnesium.
And that's the starting place. Yeah. And then if that doesn't work, then you start looking at some of the other nutrients like the B-complex, vitamins, or antioxidants.
Okay.
It's important to realize that there's a wide spectrum of nutrients that can interfere with the ability of the muscles to produce energy.
So one of the things, Lisa, as you're thinking about it, there's many different kinds of magnesiums when you go to buy magnesium. And you want to buy something that is either it's called chelated or it's called magnesium glycinate. because then it's going to get absorbed. And sometimes they come in tablets, and I prefer to take one that comes in a capsule just because I think it's easier, especially when for a 13-year-old. It's probably going to be easier for her to swallow. So, you want to avoid things like magnesium oxide because it's not going to be absorbed. It's cheap, but it won't work. So, get her some and probably 400 milligrams. I'll get there.
Yep.
Couple of hundred milligrams of magnesium at bedtime to see if that doesn't help her. So.
Okay, thanks.
Another really important point here.
Mm-hmm.
I had a program chairman that I was setting up a meeting with one time for a Rotary Club, and he said, I have this problem with leg cramping, and I went to my doctor, and he gave me calcium, and it made the problem worse. And it's very important to understand that calcium and magnesium are antagonistic, and a lot of times people will think, well, I need calcium, and they'll dose up on calcium, and that can actually aggravate a magnesium deficiency.
Okay. I love that, Jim, that you pointed that out. That's perfect. Yeah, great.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for the call. So we're going to take another caller here, and if I can get on the right line, I believe, and Annette, welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition.
Yes. I would like to know how I can lower my blood sugars in the morning. I am not taking insulin or anything like that. My doctor, my endocrinologist, had put me on a drug to stop the liver from releasing it. However, there is no way in God's green earth I'm going to be on this drug because my system can't tolerate it.
So I think, when we start looking at lowering blood sugars, morning blood sugars, which is an indication of, diabetes, insulin resistance, all those things, certainly what you're eating the night before is probably the critical variable as far as what I look at always. And one of the things that you have to make sure that you're doing is eating very low carbohydrates or no carbohydrates before you go to bed. We would think of something that doesn't have more than about 10 grams of carbohydrates for sure. So maybe that would be a half a fruit, but then you have to make sure that you're having sufficient good fat with that to hold down that blood sugar in the middle of the night. And so you might have, maybe a better option would be for you to do a little bit of tuna in or a little bit of chicken salad or egg salad in an avocado. Now, that is what I have found that works very well for people. Now, Jim, do you have some other ideas that...
I think those are good suggestions. A couple of other things. One of them is really watch the fructose intake.
Mm-hmm.
Because high fructose intake will deplete the liver of energy production. You get about a 50% drop in the energy production in liver cells when you have a high fructose diet.
So you would really recommend probably, especially in the evening, no fruit at all?
Well, particularly concentrated sources of fructose like fruit juices or high fructose sweetened fruit foods.
Oh, yes.
And then the other thing would be magnesium deficiency will result in abnormal liver function and this whole central adiposity insulin resistance syndrome.
Well,
so,
I am
you
want to
make sure that you've got adequate magnesium intake.
Yeah.
I'm on magnesium because I'm taking calcium.
Well, again, I think one of the previous callers, you have to make sure that you're taking sufficient amount of magnesium to balance that calcium.
No, I am taking a 2-to-1 ratio.
Okay.
I had seen you several years back because I'm a kidney liver transplant.
Okay.
And I'm starting to experience high morning blood sugars.
Sure. Probably making another appointment and getting some support as you're doing this because maintaining a lower carbohydrate diet is challenging for most people. It is. It's mm-hmm. honestly, it's hard work to do. Mm-hmm. I do it all the time.
I was going to say, Dar is case in point, and yeah. for
yeah,
health for, reasons, for, you yeah, need to do it. And,
right.
and you've said before, life isn't fair that some of us have to
that's right.
eat lower carbs than others, but it's the way of the world.
And so most people need a little support when they're going through that. But we really appreciate the phone call, and we got to take another quick break. You're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness. For many people, these past several months have been more stressful, very much more stressful, because of the economy. It may surprise you that real food eaten several times a day is one of the best ways to manage stress. But eating processed carbs and junk food actually accelerates stress to a fever pitch. The best investment you can make today is an investment in your health. You know, learn the simple magic of eating real food for stress management when you take the Weight and Wellness series. And we'll be back in a minute.
Living Life Out Loud on FM 107.1. Laugh along.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. We're discussing your body's sign language with author and nutritionist Jim McAvee. If you're looking for a great return on your dollar in these hard economic times, seriously, you don't have to go down to the pawn shop and sell your grandma's jewelry. You just have to learn how to eat to stay healthy. And so today we're offering listeners our own special stimulus package. If you sign up for this next Weight and Wellness series with a friend or a family member, you each will save $35. So rather than the usual $225 for the Weight and Wellness series, this spring session would be just $190. Again, you have to bring a friend or a family member, and then you'll receive 6 2-hour classes, a nutritional manual, which I still make reference to at times. It's a wonderful resource, a cookbook, and nutrition educators to help you make changes. So if you want to call today to reserve your spot in class, you can call the St. Paul office at 651-699-3438.
So, Jim, you know, one of the things that we've just been noticing that so many people seem to have mineral deficiencies, and maybe you could just kind of address some of the reasons that so many people are low on, especially magnesium and zinc.
There's widespread mineral deficiencies, and part of the reason for that is that our food has been refined for so long. And most people don't realize it. We have, you know, 2 and 3 and 4 generations where the food has been deprived of minerals. And so each successive generation, the trace mineral reserves tend to become lower. And as you have this continuing malnutrition, it actually becomes more and more difficult to absorb and to utilize what minerals are available.
It's almost like that's why we're seeing such an epidemic of health problems right now. And I bet you're seeing that in your practice, too.
It's getting worse all the time. I've seen it get dramatically worse over the last 40 years.
Yeah, I've seen it in the last 20 years compared to the people that I would see 20 years ago to today. And, I might see someone in their later 60s, but I'm seeing these same people. Aren't we, Cassie?
Yeah.
They're in their 30s, and they have some of these same problems that people in their 60s used to have.
One of my friends before he retired was Dr. Bob Smith, and he worked for Doctors Data Hair Analysis Laboratory. He spent 2 years going around and testing the trace mineral content of fruits and vegetables, organic and commercial, and he found that on the average, the commercial produce had about half the trace mineral content of the organic, with the exception of the fact that the commercial fruits and vegetables tended to have higher levels of toxic metals like mercury and lead and things like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
Sometimes those are nutritional antagonists. For example, a very common deficiency is iodine.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have fluoridated water or if you're consuming white flour, that they have bromine added to that. And bromine and fluoride are antagonistic to iodine.
Right.
So you tend to get suppression of that particular nutrient. High calcium supplementation, as already talked about, depletes magnesium.
So then when you have depleted iodine, what is the body sign that pops out?
One of the things is fibrocystic breast disease.
Okay.
Oftentimes will be associated with low iodine. Also, you get iodine is involved with thyroid function, mm-hmm. so you get all the symptoms of low thyroid, of which there's 150 different symptoms.
Right.
And weight gain would be one of those. Increased susceptibility to infection would be another. And there's quite a few body signs associated with low thyroid and low iodine in the book.
And, you know, we sort of are in the goiter belt up here, and so that's another one of those obvious body signs of low iodine. But
page 99 of the
page
book.
Page 99 of the book. Cassie's got it right here. So, you know, Jim, we have to take another quick break. You're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition. If you're tuning in at the very first time, we welcome you. You know, we're here every Saturday from 8 to 9 teaching and really encouraging you to eat real food. As a nutrition counseling and education company, we have found food can be the solution to your health problems, or it can be the problem. We hope each week we will catch that you will actually kind of catch our nutrition passion and decide to make nutrition a priority so it can be your solution. And we'll be back in a minute.
FM 107.1.
I started singing bye-bye, Miss American Pie.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. If you're looking for a very interesting book, a very helpful book, we encourage you to order Your Body Sign Language, written by nutritionist Jim McAvee. Really, it would be a great gift for anybody that you love.
And especially for Mother's Day. And Mother's Day is coming up, you know, in May.
Faster than we know it.
Yes. So I guess our question, Jim, to you is, how can people get your book?
A couple of ways. One, they can go to yourbodysignlanguage.com, where there's a description of the book and a place to order it. Also, they can call our office at 800-359-6091.
And you know what, Jim? We will order in your books, and we'll have them in our office. And so thank you for being a guest. And thank you for listening today.
It has been a pleasure. And keep up the good work that you're doing back there.
Thank you very much.
Well, the same to you.
It was
thank
really
you.
Nice having you on.
This was wonderful.